Last week, you'll remember Nebuchadnezzar had his disturbing dream revealed to him. Daniel and his three friends avoided death by praying and then telling King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was, as well as the interpretation of it. Daniel reminded King Nebuchadnezzar that he didn't interpret this dream, but God Almighty revealed the dream and its meaning to him, which was a big prophetic statue made of different kinds of metal portraying kingdoms to come. Well, this made the king very happy as he then promoted Daniel and his friends to high positions within the kingdom. Now, one would think that after such an event, Nebuchadnezzar would be somewhat interested in worshiping a god who could do such a thing. But no. This guy is so dense, he would sink in a pool of mercury. What did he do after he was told that he was the head of gold in the statue of his dream? He made a giant statue out of pure gold and demanded that people bow down and worship it. Listen to these words from Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and its width, 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then a herald cried out loud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." This king had 101 ways to deal with anyone who did not do as he said. Last week he was cutting people into pieces. This time it's the burning fiery furnace. Now we know from chapter 1 that Daniel and his three friends were good at drawing the line when it came to worship and devotion to God. So they drew the line once again and refused to bow, which in turn caused the tattletales to come out of the woodwork. You know, there are always going to be complainers and whiners when someone decides to worship God with their whole heart. It's a good temperature reading at times as to just how sincere a person's walk of faith actually is. You know, water has its extreme temperatures. At 32 degrees, it freezes. At 212 degrees, it boils and evaporates. You know, a jet can only go so fast before it breaks the sound barrier. Well, Christianity is like that too. When it reaches an extreme level, it ends up blessing many, but yet irritating many as well. Have you ever stirred up any whiners and complainers in your walk of faith? We continue reading as the tattletales report to the king. "O king, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well then good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Notice that these three men's faith is not a convenient faith. Many people have a convenient faith. But these three men don't just worship God when it's convenient, when it requires nothing. But they worship him even when it's highly inconvenient. Their faith is solid as a rock. The enemy cannot budge Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from their position of trust. They were given a chance to recant, to save their own lives, but a true faith holds the line. A true faith worships God, no matter what the consequences may be. Well, today's Reformation Sunday. The Reformation was born out of great heat as well. Martin Luther was a different saint in a different time, who also knew how to draw the proverbial line of faith in the sand. He too was one who attracted negative attention when he began preaching and teaching the Word of God in sincerity and in truth. He was put under examination at the Diet of Worms. His books were piled up in front of him, and they said, "Mr. Luther, are these your books?" "Yes, they are." "Well, if you recant from all of these writings, we will cut you some slack. Otherwise, it's excommunication and burning at the stake for you." Well, after some time in prayer, Luther replied, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen." Well, both the three Hebrew children and Luther looked at their accusers as if they were saying, "You people just don't get it, do you? You have it all backwards. You say, if we bow, we will not burn. But the truth is, if we do bow, we'll burn. We fear God more than man. We fear a God who can kill both body and soul and cast into hell." Now, we know what the end result was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll talk more about it next week. We know how it turned out for Luther. But they didn't know at the time when they refused to bow how things would turn out. They didn't know one of the greatest miracles recorded in Scripture would be brought about by their line in the sand faith. Luther didn't know that his refusal to recant would forever change world history, especially the history of the Western Hemisphere. All they knew is that they would not and could not be moved from the bedrock of their faith, Jesus Christ. He was a mighty fortress to them. So many times Christians say, "God, why can't you give me a sign to increase my faith? Give me a great miracle, God, so I can really believe in you." But we get it all backwards. And we fear men rather than God. But you see, what God is waiting to see, what he's looking for from you and me, is whether or not we first draw that line in the sand, even before we know what the outcome will be, but simply because we are devoted to him. How much do you love God? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to draw that line? Are you willing to risk your comfort zone? You know, the Christians who truly change the world are the ones who aren't afraid to die, but rather pick up their cross. And rest assured, when God sees you draw that line in the sand that says, "I love you, Lord. I serve you, Lord. I trust you, Lord," I magnify your name, O Lord. It's like striking a match that ignites supernatural results. God tells us in his word that it is without faith, it's impossible to please him. These three men said, our God can deliver us, even before they saw it happen. But even if he doesn't, we aren't going to bow to another God with a small g that is nothing but a figment of your imagination. For our God is the God who is a consuming fire. And that's what God is looking for from you and me. That's one of the primary messages of the Reformation. Stand firm on the Word of God, sola scriptura. Do not be moved from it, no matter what. It's faith first, sola fide, for we are the people that claim the heritage of Luther. Luther stood there as a witness to the gospel and still stands today, pointing to Jesus. Let's join him in that act and choose to serve our God, who is a mighty fortress. Amen.